Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc. All rights reserved.
You're listening to the smartest man in talk radio.
You're going to be listening to one of the smartest people that you probably... You know who this guy is. It's me.
He's Jim Blasingame.
I am smart. I am smart. S-M-R-T. I mean, S-M-A-R-T.
The Small Business Advocate.
We're back. It's 34 after. Thanks for hanging around with me, Mr. Humble, Mr. Gracious here. It's good to be with you. My website is www.jbsba.com. And don't forget to subscribe to my free newsletter when you get there. And don't forget, this is the week that I kick off my 2004 resolutions. So this would be a great week to subscribe. That'll get you all the copies of the series, which is about an eight-week series. This is the week where you're going to get the line items of the resolutions that I recommend for all of our businesses. And then in the coming weeks, I'm going to talk more in detail about each one of the seven major categories. So be sure to check that out. And it is free. It comes on Sunday. It gets you ready for the week ahead at jbsba.com. Rich Galen is our guest, ladies and gentlemen. He's our good friend. He's just back from South Asia. Rich, welcome back to the show.
Thank you. Is this the week I have to remember to make a resolution to actually bill my clients this
you
year?
That's what you have to do. That's
God,
what you have to
I do. I am so bad about that. I don't understand why it's so hard for me to sit down and just write out invoices.
Is there a lady in your house there that helps you, prompts you to do that?
Yes, when she looks at the bank account.
I bet she does. Ladies and gentlemen, there's a term in golf called sneaky long. Now, what that means is there's always a guy in the group that's not particularly a big physical person. He doesn't have a great swooshy dramatic swing. He doesn't look like anybody that would just really power the ball out there in the middle of the fairway. But after we're all through and we're walking down through the fairway and we get out there where the big guys hit, there's this guy's ball out there. And we call him sneaky long because it just doesn't seem like that. Well, I'm coining a new term, and I'm calling it sneaky courageous. And that's Rich Galen. Rich Galen is sneaky courageous.
If you looked at him,
he'd be the last guy you'd think of being a hero. You'd be the last guy you'd think. And if you talked to him, he'd deny it to his dying day. But this is a guy that in the last year has spent 6 months helping Iraq get their independence. He's now spent a week or so over in South Asia, just picked up in a 24-hour notice and went over to help out those folks. And as far as I'm concerned, that makes him sneaky courageous. Rich, thank you for all you do.
That's really sweet, but it's just, you know, I mean, one of the last columns I wrote from Iraq, it was really, I really felt strongly about this, that I... You know, I'm the guy that stands on the street corner as the marchers come by that are actually playing the instruments and driving the floats. I get to cheer, but I get a good seat, so I get to report it. And I don't do anything. I just
I tell you, I've told you folks, he's sneaky about it. But anyway, we're proud of you, Rich, and I want you to tell us what you found when you got over there.
Well, the thing about a tsunami that's really it took a while for me to get my arms around is it's. It's more like a tornado than a hurricane in terms of the widespread damage. Now this one, because there was so much coastline involved, so many islands in the Indian Basin, it had an aggregate effect of having an enormous impact. But in any one place, if you look at the hurricanes that hit Florida, I mean, it's miles and miles and miles of damage and destruction. A tsunami, if it comes up 200 meters up the beach and your house is 195 meters, your house is gone. If your house is 205 meters, your house is there, and nothing happened. So it's very localized, very intense damage. Again, much more like a tornado. If it got to your side of the street, your house is gone. But I wrote about this, too, that we hear a great deal about the resort island of, like, Phuket Island in Thailand. Which was devastated. Many, many, many people were killed, and vacationers were killed. It was horrible. But the other side of the equation is that on the upbound side, there are bankers that are standing there begging these resort owners to allow them to lend the money to rebuild because they know they're going to get paid back.
Right.
These little villages that I visited, they ain't nobody standing there with money to help them rebuild.
Right.
I mean, because they're not going to get paid back.
Well, and how many little islands out there in that part of the world, Rich? Were so small, you know, maybe there were a few thousand people living there. They're so small, the tsunami literally washed over it.
Yeah, they just washed right over it. A few of those.
Everybody on the island is gone.
Well, that's and what I was. We were standing on the southeastern shore of India, and Evander Holyfield, of all people, was on this trip. He was a pretty neat guy, and he said, "Well, why didn't I just would have run away?" I said, "You can't run away from this. It's coming at you at 400 miles an hour.
Yeah.
You can't run
yeah.
away." And he said, "Well, but you could see it coming in." I said, "But the first, and this is apropos to your question. The first thing that happens, as everybody knows now, is that the water washes out a half mile, a mile out. I mean, so there is seabed that no living person has ever seen before.
Right.
And everybody runs down to the beach to see what's going on.
It pulls back in anticipation, and before the tsunami hits, it pulls back from the beach, doesn't it?
Exactly.
Like a big tide that nobody's ever seen, an outgoing tide no one's ever seen before. I want you to pick up on that when we come back after these messages. We're right back, folks, after these messages. It's 20 Till. Stay with us.
Skip the light, Fandango. Only you can to make all this world seem right.
We're back at 17 Till.
Only you.
I'm Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate, and that's Tony Williams, ladies and gentlemen, the voice of the great Tony Williams with the Platters. Rich, you remember that, don't you?
Although I don't think I would have remembered the name of the individual singer.
I don't have a life, Rich. So
yeah, that is true.
I keep up with it, you know, and as you know, unfortunately, I have that kind of mind. But anyway, we're glad to have you back, Rich Galen, ladies and gentlemen. Sneaky, courageous Rich Galen, the publisher and the author and the janitor and the accountant over at Mullings.com.
Yeah, and if he could just be the invoicer, he would make a lot more money.
The thrice weekly cyber column that I encourage you to check out and to subscribe to at Mullings.com. Rich, okay, so the first thing that happens is you get this washback, this pullback of the ocean.
Because it's part of the, as you know, the law of conservation of angular momentum.
That was just what I was thinking about.
Yeah, but what happens is the water begins to rear up, and it's got to get additional water from somewhere as it's pushing forward. One of the things about these tsunamis, Jim, is that a wave that we see, you know, at Hawaii or, you know, anywhere else on any beach is typically a wave-driven. It's the wave pressure against the top of the ocean. The wind pressure across the top of the ocean that causes the wave. And so that wave might be, you know, a meter from front to back. A huge Hawaiian wave might be 10 meters from front to back.
Mm-hmm.
These things are a kilometer. A mile from front to back. So the amount of water that's pushing forward is just, it's just unimaginable. And I tell people to just turn on the tap and put your hand under it, and your hand goes down. And imagine a mile of that, you know, pushing your hand down. So you can see why the amount of power that this stuff had when you saw the video of it was so enormous. So anyway, so the water rushes out. And then people rush down to the beach because they've never seen this. And everybody calls everybody and says, look at this.
There was a video of a guy actually walking out in the middle of that, and it was just transfixed.
Yeah, exactly. Because these fishing villages, they've lived there for 30,000 years. And then, as I said, these waves come back in at 400 miles an hour, and you can't get out of the way. So Evander Holyfield was standing there and said, when the wave came back, and he turned around and said, why didn't they just run up over there? I said, because before the wave came, over there was houses. There was no place to run. Now it's empty, but there were houses. Oh, I see. So if you're in it, it's just blind luck.
See of the people while you were there, Rich?
Different people are different because people are different. I had one photo on the website of this man, his son and his wife, and they are just in shock. I mean, this is now a week and a half later when I was there, and he was sitting on the edge of what would have been his house. His son is sitting next to him. His wife is leaned over with her head on, just her head on the bricks, and they were just stunned. They're just sitting there. They can't move. Other people were, actively looking for, wreckage that they could start rebuilding their boats. The kids, of course, are kids there. If you take a kid's digital picture and show it to them, that makes their whole week. So people, the differentiation in people that make entrepreneurs and make. That we see in any other strata of society, but it was interesting to see the difference in the way people were dealing with it.
Well, the death toll now is over 200,000.
Right.
Not known, confirmed.
It'll triple.
Yeah, And of course, that doesn't include the people who, are they still saying that they'll have thousands and thousands of deaths from the condition? Or has the help arrived in time to prevent some of that?
Well, I don't think people are going to starve to death. There's plenty of food, plenty of water. Desalinization got there in a hurry in a lot of these places. Some places not, but a lot of places. The problem now is going to be malaria, frankly, the age-old scourge of malaria. There was in Indonesia especially, there were monsoons that followed this, and so there are huge pools of mosquito breeding grounds that they're trying to spray. But getting around, you know, we forget that this thing was spawned by an earthquake, an enormous earthquake. And in pieces of Indonesia, the ground shifted, 10, 15 feet. So a bridge is now a bridge to nowhere. I mean, there's nothing on the other side or a collapse.
And Rich, Dr. Bob Arnott was on the show last week, and he was leaving a few days after you left to go over there for about a month. You remember Dr. Bob was with CBS years ago, now with NBC and MSNBC.
Yeah, he was with us in Iraq. Yeah,
exactly. Yeah, you saw him in Iraq. And so he was on the going over there right after he was on the show last Monday, I think it was, a week ago Monday. And he emailed me back and said, earthquakes. They're still getting earthquakes over there.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Well, this thing is like a gigantic bell. I mean, it keeps shivering. And it's, when the earth, you know how long a big bell can echo for. Well, this is the whole earth echoing, and it's going to go on for a while.
How much of this, now where the tsunami hit, obviously, as you say, was in depending on where it was, it came ashore a few, dozens of meters and sometimes hundreds of meters.
Right.
And depending on how it got channeled, maybe even a couple of miles or so.
Right.
But how much devastation to that part of the world is this in total? I mean, how does it compare? It didn't wreck, obviously, the Indian economy. What about, like, the Sri Lankan economy?
Well, Sri Lanka is probably the weakest of the economies, but they're getting the help. The good thing about Sri Lanka is that it's pretty accessible. I mean, Colombo's a big time airport, so they can get
right
in there. But it's, again, as you pointed out, it's these little islands. So, but again, you know, it's what I started the conversation with, Jim. It is very localized, so that, you know, if it's your village, then it's devastating. If it's the next village, you know, we'll go help our cousins, but we got to get to work. And when you go into the big cities, of course, it's just business as usual, not unlike going to Des Moines, on September 13th, 2001. I mean, people went to work.
Stand by, Rich. We're going to take a quick break. Folks, when we come back, I'm going to ask Rich to tell us about Dr. Paul's organization and maybe recommend some people we could contribute money to that would help get the relief over there. And I'm going to ask Rich about the politics of all this right after these messages. It's 10 Tell. Stay with us. We're back at 7 till. I'm Jim Lassingame, the small business advocate. Rich Galen is our guest. Rich, give us your website again, please.
www.mullings.com.
And I hope, folks, you'll subscribe there, but because one of the things you'll be able to do, if you haven't already, is you'll be able to get the last three or four of Rich's cyber columns that have talked about where he talked about his trip over there and his fascinating work. And, Rich, thank you for filing those and for bringing that information to our doorstep. Rich, give us the location that you recommend that we send our donations to.
Well, the guy that I flew over with is a guy named Dr. K. A. Paul. He's an evangelical preacher. He's an Indian guy. I mean, an Indian from India. Now lives in Houston, and I've got a pretty good BS detector, Jim. I mean, I don't suffer fools gladly, as you know. When I first met Dr. Paul, I don't know, 7 or 8 years ago, I thought, what is this guy about? And very quickly, I realized that he truly is what he is. I mean, he's
the real thing.
He's the real thing. I mean, he was complaining because his wife wanted a new car, so he bought her like a 1997 Honda. Yeah, he thought that was plenty good enough. I mean, he lives very modestly. He's really a decent guy. The one odd thing that he does is that he raised the money to buy a 747. He owns the only privately owned 747 in the world, and that's the plane that they're loading up with cargo. And the one thing that they need is money to buy fuel for the darn thing and get it back and forth. So they were.
Tell us what you delivered on this trip.
We delivered 20 tons worth of everything from baby food to cribs to medicines to water to disinfectant. I mean, anything you could possibly imagine that you would need if you could picture yourself in this kind of a situation. We loaded on that airplane, and I've got photos on the website of us unloading it with a C-5A in the background because the Air Force was there as well. The U.S. Air Force was there as well.
And by the way, folks, one of the doctors on that trip is a son of a good friend of mine, a fellow Rotarian. And so that was, I had two friends on that airplane.
Yeah, I believe Dr., was it Asbel?
Asbel, uh-huh.
Yeah, he stayed in Hyderabad, India. There was a group of high school kids that volunteered to come over and expand Dr. Paul's orphanage, which is a wonderful, wonderful facility in India.
Which you previously told us about, where they protect these children from being stolen into sex slavery.
Exactly right. Yeah. The first time I went there about 4 years ago, there were about 100 kids. Now there's about 1,200. And the high school kids from Cincinnati went over to expand it so that they could take in maybe another 1,000 kids that were orphaned as a result of this thing.
Rich, let's give us Dr. Paul's website in case people want to go there and check it out.
It's globalpeacenow.com. Globalpeacenow.com.org was already taken when they had that, so it's a .com.
Globalpeacenow.com. Check it out, folks.
As I said, legitimate guy. Almost everybody, like me, almost everybody attached to this thing is a volunteer. We don't get paid to do it.
Right, and we appreciate that. Rich, talk to us about the politics of this. What's going to be the political outcome a year or two from now? What will this mean from a global political standpoint?
Well, the hope is, I think, Jim, is that one of the problems that you and I have talked about both on and off the air is that when America speaks and Americans speak, what we're saying is completely different from what the rest of the world is hearing. We don't understand why people look at us funny when we talk and try to say the right things. This is a situation, though, where we're not saying anything. We're just doing. Mm-hmm. And not just America, but the rest of the world as well. But my hope is that these second and a half and third world countries come to recognize that the first world countries really do have good hearts, and we're not in this looking for political advantage or economic advantage, but that this is the sort of thing, especially Americans, that we do. When somebody gets in trouble, we don't care whether you like us or don't like us. We come in and help, and we just descend on you with everything we can bring to bear.
No questions asked. No strings attached.
Yeah, no strings attached. No IOUs. No nothing. Here it is. You know, go and be well. And it's the old thing. We've all been through this in our lives. You can reach out your hand in friendship. You can't make the other person take it.
Right. Well, do you think that we're going to, that this is going to, and this is, wasn't our goal, but is there any way that there could be a dividend from this in the Islamic community?
Yeah, sure. I mean, Indonesia, of course, is the biggest Islamic country in the world.
But they recently asked us to leave or something like that.
Well, again, I think that's a reporting issue as opposed to a reality issue.
Political issue, yeah.
Yeah, I think that, these guys have gotten very sophisticated in how to utilize the Western media. And, they get three guys that can, get themselves in front of a video camera and demand something, and then that gets picked up by CNN International and all.
Rich,
that.
We got to wrap it up. Thank you for being here. Thank you for what you did over there. Thank you for all that you continue to do, and we'll see you next time.
Thank you, my friend.
Rich Galen, ladies and gentlemen, sneaky, courageous Rich Galen, a great American. Got to go for this hour. Before I do, I want to thank my heroes, small business owners. This is Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate, and this program is for you. I'll see you later.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blassingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.